If you have your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn them to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We were in Luke chapter 10 a couple weeks ago. Remember, we talked about the parable of the Good Samaritan. We had the lesson in Sunday school, and then we had it again on Wednesday night. And so tonight, we're going to finish up Luke chapter 10. We're going to look at a familiar story. We're going to look out about a visit that Jesus made to Martha and Mary. Now, we know from other parts of the Bible that they had a brother, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But look at verse 38 as we start tonight. Now, it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Luke doesn't name the village that they went into. There's some Bible scholars that say, well, Luke didn't name it because if he would have named the village, the Jews would have went in and persecuted the ones that entertained Jesus in their home. I don't think that's likely the reason why Luke didn't mention it, because he calls Mary and Martha, or Martha and Mary, by their names. From John, from their story in the book of John, we know that this family, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, were well known. And maybe that's why Luke didn't mention the name of the city, because he figured if he mentioned Martha and Mary, everybody would know that they were from the city of Bethany. But Bethany was a village about 2.5 miles southeast of Jerusalem, just as you crested the Mount of Olives. And Luke doesn't tell us why Jesus came. It just says, now it came to pass as they went. So as they were traveling, they entered into this city. And if you just think about the story, the story suggests that this wasn't Jesus' first time, that he wasn't a total stranger to this household, that perhaps he had in all probability visited there before and probably visited there many times before. These were his friends. You remember when Lazarus got sick in John chapter 11, and Mary and Martha sent word to him. They sent word, hey, he who thou lovest is sick, talking about Lazarus. And so perhaps he used this home that he was invited into, and again, I think visited regularly, as sort of a haven, just to get away from the pressures that were on him in the ministry, and he could come into this home and visit with friends and just rest and enjoy himself in their presence. All the visits that he made to Jerusalem that we read about in the Gospels, not one time do we read about him spending the night in Jerusalem. And perhaps because Bethany was only 2.5 miles away, that when he was in the area, he would go to a place like this home and spend the night and rest while he was in Jerusalem. But it says, a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. That word received in the Greek is a very warm and inviting word. It means to welcome a special guest into your home. Not just an ordinary guest, but somebody that you considered a special guest. They had strong feelings for, that you look forward to them coming, and you never wanted them to go. You were sad when they left. Sure, like Brother Wayne is about his grandkids. He loves it when they come, and he hates it when they go. Others of us feel a little bit relief when ours leave, but maybe when ours get older, we'll feel the same way that that he does. But this was the kind of guest that Jesus was in this home. They loved to see him come. They did not want him to leave. And so when he did come, he was given a warm, very warm and special welcome. The next verse tells us that Martha had a sister. She had a sister called Mary. Since Martha was the one that's listed first, we assume that she was the older of the two sisters. The Bible suggests that that her house, the phrase welcomed her, received him into her house, implies that Martha actually owned the house, that perhaps she was a widow, and this was a house that she and her husband had owned. But we don't know that for sure. We do know from the book of John that even though he's not mentioned here, they had a brother named Lazarus, but he's not mentioned in this particular account. Verse 39, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, we see a difference in the natures of the two sisters just in these two verses. So when we meet Mary in this story, she's sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him teach. So she sat as a pupil, either in front or beside her teacher, Jesus, and she took in every word that he said. But I want you to note the word also, which also sat at Jesus' feet. So again, Luke introduces Martha welcoming or receiving Jesus into her house, and then Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, also sitting at Jesus' feet. Again, the word also implies that that's where Martha spent a lot of time, that they both together, when Jesus would come, would just sit at his feet as pupils, him as the teacher, and they would just listen as he taught to them. Verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. This time was different for Martha, because instead of sitting at Jesus' feet, the Bible says that she was cumbered about much serving. Now, that word cumbered means to be drawn in different directions, so much so that you're distracted. Okay? So if Martha's custom was to sit at Jesus' feet when he came, and I think that it was, again, because of the word also, and that Mary was sitting there, this time it was a little bit different. It was probably late in the afternoon when Jesus came. And so Martha, instead of sitting there, listening to Jesus as she normally did, was busy in the kitchen. Again, Jesus was a special guest. A special guest called for an elaborate meal. And so Martha was seeing to that. She was in the kitchen. She was probably preparing several dishes while Mary sat at Jesus' feet. Well, Martha got a little frustrated with her sister. She had a lot to do. She didn't figure that she could get it done by herself in the time that she wanted to get it done. She felt that her sister Mary should be helping her, and there she was, sitting at Jesus' feet. And finally, her frustration reached the boiling point, and she came to Jesus. And that phrase, came to him, suggests a bursting into the room, not a quiet entry, not excuse me, please, but bursting into the room and saying, Lord, dost not thou care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Don't you care that Mary's sitting here and I'm out in the kitchen working to get you a meal all by myself? Would you please tell her? And she didn't even use the word please. She said, bid her, therefore, that she help me. Now, that word help is a double compound verb. And if you put it in today's language, it would be like Martha coming into room and saying, Lord, aren't you concerned that while I'm busy in the kitchen, Mary's sitting here? Tell her that she needs to carry her part of the load. I can't do this by myself. She needs to get up, come in the kitchen, and help me prepare the meal that I am preparing for you. And what she was saying to Jesus, and of course to Mary as she sat there, is, hey, sister, you have a responsibility too. I mean, we are both hosts. You should be in the kitchen helping me. And she would be saying, and she would be implying to Jesus, why would you allow her to sit here and listen to your teaching and let me do all the work? It's not fair. She should be doing her share. So tell her, Lord, to get up, come into the kitchen, and get to work. Now, we might read those words and might think, boy, this is not a way that Martha should be talking to Jesus. It's almost like she's rebuking him. But I think, again, and you know the story. You know how Jesus answered her. I think her freedom to do that to Jesus come out of the friendship and the familiarity that she had with him. Again, I don't think this was the first time Jesus was in their home. I think they were close friends. They were dear friends. Martha felt that because of that friendship, she had the right to burst into the room, not say, excuse me, but to say, Lord, this is not fair. I mean, look at her. She's sitting there doing nothing. I'm in the kitchen slaving, trying to get you a meal. Tell her to get up and get in there and help me so that we can, you know, prepare this meal for you so that you can have something to eat. In verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. Now, again, just think about it. If they were strangers, this would mean something else. But again, just if they're friends, and Jesus felt no rebuke in what Martha said, I could almost see the twinkle in his eye as he looks at Martha and say, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now, that word careful means divided in mind. It means distracted. I mean, so she was cumbered about. She was worried about what she was going to fix. She was planning, again, not just a simple meal, but a very elaborate meal with various dishes that needed to be prepared. And so her mind was racing. I mean, this was an unexpected visit. It's not like, you know, even if they had them, she would not serve a microwave meal that she could just put in the microwave and heat up. I mean, it had to be a nice meal. Again, this was a very special guest. Jesus was a dear friend. Again, she wanted to please him and provide for him. Her mind was racing, all the different things that she was fixing. And so thou art careful and troubled. In other words, Jesus was saying, hey, Martha, I see what's going on in your mind because you're letting it show. It's come out in your words. It's come out in your expressions. You're worried about many things. Jesus knew what was going through her mind. The many things that he mentioned to her were the many dishes that she had in her mind that she was trying to get ready to serve Jesus and perhaps his disciples. And so she was distracted. I mean, her mind was racing. She saw Mary sitting there. She got frustrated. She came in. Lord, tell her to get up and come and help me. And Jesus comes back and says, Martha, Martha, I know what's going on in your heart and your mind. Notice what he says next. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now, one thing is needful. Usually when we read the story, we think about the spiritual versus the practical. And we commend Mary because she chose the spiritual, quote unquote, thing to do to set at Jesus' feet. But when Jesus said, Martha, one thing is needful, what he was saying is, look, I don't need an elaborate meal. I don't need all these dishes that you are preparing. A simple one-dish meal, or a few dishes, not all the ones that you're planning, a few dishes, maybe even one, would be all that I need. Mary hasn't worried about, you know, what I'm going to eat. She's sitting here listening to me. And Martha, I wish that you weren't so busy in the kitchen that you could sit here too. I wish you could just, you know, just make something simple and then come and sit with Mary and let's talk and let's visit and let's fellowship. And so Jesus wasn't saying, hey, Martha, if you were more spiritual, you would be sitting here with Mary, listening to me speak. He wasn't building Mary up. I think Mary was a spiritual person, but I think Martha was a spiritual person too. I think she wanted to be sitting at Jesus' feet. But she knew that Jesus was hungry. She knew that man does not live by bread alone, but that man needs bread. And that she had the responsibility to feed him. And she, again, Jesus says, don't worry about it so much. Don't be distracted about it so much. Just fix something simple and come and sit down and let's visit. But isn't it strange how one event in a person's life sort of marks them forever. I mean, and I'll just be honest, don't say it out loud, but when you think about Martha and Mary, what do you think about? You think about Martha being the practical one of the two. You think about Martha worrying about what Jesus was going to eat. And when you think about Mary, you think about somebody, well, that's the spiritual sister. She's the one that chose to sit at Jesus' feet and not worry about the food. Oh, and by the way, you know, Mary probably should have had a little bit of concern about what they were going to feed Jesus. She should have been helping Martha. Now, again, didn't need to be the elaborate meal, but the simple meal. But isn't it strange, and it still happens today, one event in a person's life can mark them. And we never give them a chance to break that stereotype that we have them. We say, oh yeah, I know that person, they're like this. And we say that based on one event or one occurrence. And usually what the stereotype that we come to is not true. It certainly wasn't true in the case of Martha. I think Mary was very spiritual. I think Martha was also very spiritual. You go to John chapter 11, and you read the account there of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Lazarus was sick. The sisters sent word to Jesus. He whom thou lovest is sick. They were asking him to come. You remember the story when word came to Jesus and the disciples. Jesus delayed his going. He said, no, we're not going to go right away. And after a couple of days, he told his disciples, well, Lazarus is asleep. Now, he was saying that he was dead, but the disciples thought, well, if he's sleeping, he must be feeling better. And Jesus said, no, he's not sleeping that way. He's dead. And they went. They went to Bethany. By the time they got there, Lazarus had already laid in the grave for 4 days. The Jews thought the spirit of a person hovered around the grave for 3 days, but after 4 days, that spirit departed, so they thought Lazarus was dead beyond any hope. And if you think about Mary in that story, she seems kind of helpless. I mean, she comes out to meet Jesus when Martha calls her, but and says the same thing that Martha said, hey, Jesus, if you would have been here, you know, Lazarus wouldn't have died. But it was Martha who was, yes, still practical. I mean, she said the same thing. Jesus, if you had come, Lazarus wouldn't be dead. But she said, I believe even now that I'll see him again. And Jesus said, you will see him again. And Martha said, I know I'll see him in the resurrection of the dead. And Jesus said, I'm the resurrection. He said, take me out to the cemetery. And so they went out to the cemetery. Martha thought they were going there so Jesus could grieve. And again, you know the story as well as I do. Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, again, the practical one, said, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. Why? He probably stinks by now. Why would you want to take away the stone? And Jesus said, Martha, didn't I tell you that you'd see him again? Don't you believe? And remember what Martha said? She said, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, that should come into the world. What she was saying was, I believe that you're the Messiah, the one sent by God. Now again, here was a lady who had sent for Christ. He hadn't come. Her brother had died. She knew that if he would have been there, he could have saved her because she'd seen and heard him do that many times to other people. But he didn't come. Lazarus was dead. And she had no indication about what Jesus was about to do. And yet when asked, she made a confession similar to what Peter did. Said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes, I believe in you. And so she was practical, but Martha was also spiritual. Mary could have used a little bit of Martha's practicality and, you know, been in the kitchen helping her. Maybe she could have calmed her older sister down and say, hey, sis, we don't need to make all these dishes. Let's just make one or two. Jesus will be happy. He wants us to visit with him more than anything else. And so a lot of times a couple truths tonight, then we'll be done. A lot of times we judge a person on one thing that happens in their life. We need to look at more. one event shouldn't result in a stereotype that person never gets to change. And the second thing is, mankind is the one that separates the practical and the spirituality. In reality, God wants us to be spiritual in our practicality. Okay? I was talking to a lady in our church, and I asked her to go pray with another lady that was having a problem. I said, I just want you to go over and pray with them. And here's what she said to me. She said, Pastor, I'm not a Mary. I'm a Martha. I said, what do you mean by that? She said, well, if you want somebody to take her a meal, I can take her a meal. If you want somebody to go clean her house, I'll go clean her house. If you need somebody to take her to the doctor, I'll take her to the doctor. But when you ask me to do something spiritual like go pray, there's probably somebody else that's more qualified to do that than I am. And I said to this lady, I said, listen to me. Cooking for somebody is just as spiritual as praying for them. Cleaning their house is just as spiritual as praying for them. Taking them to the doctor is just as spiritual as praying for them. And by the way, I think God will hear your prayers just like he will somebody that you think is more spiritual than you are. There's very little difference between how God wants us to think about spiritual things and practical things. Our spirituality shows up a lot of the time in the practical things we do to help other people. Let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer. Thank you for being here tonight.